The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Those who do not love me do not keep my words, yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." The Gospel of the Lord. Before I do my homily, I just want to say that it's kind of a special day for me because you know how the calendar changes every year, but this was actually the day that I celebrated my first Mass 31 years ago, Pentecost Sunday. And I sure didn't expect that. But this is a vestment my mom made, so I thought I would wear it today so for my first Mass. We hear the word pluralism a lot today, pluralism. It's defined objectively as respecting the otherness of other people. Religious pluralism is the state of being where every individual in a religiously diverse society has the rights, freedoms, and safety to worship or not to worship according to their conscience. This definition is founded in the American motto, E Pluribus Unum, that is, as a nation, we are gathered together as one out of many. Everybody would agree this is a good thing, but is this really the goal? Do we stop short at simply tolerating each other? Isn't this more organized individualism? But Christianity is not individualism. I do not define myself as other than you. This is the beginning of division. Cults of individuals have divided Christianity as a whole and nearly every Christian church internally, even our own Catholic Church to a degree. So on Friday, I was able to address the Lutheran Metro DC Synod Assembly. They elected a new bishop. I haven't found out yet who it is. But they asked me to speak for a few minutes. And I said that we had to pay attention to this particular moment in history because this is really important. We're at a very unique moment right now, and I don't believe in coincidences. So I asked the assembly, there were about 250 people there, I asked the assembly, do you know who the Pope was at the time of the Protestant Reformation? And of course nobody answers because nobody wants to say the wrong answer and there were no microphones. So I said, I didn't make them like struggle over this. I said, the name of the Pope was Giovanni Di Lorenzo de' Medici. Now, have you seen that Netflix series, The Medici? Yeah, so whether or not you agree it's good television, I'm not going to go there. However, even if it's entertainment, it certainly was a tragic moment in the church. It was a moment of corruption. It was a moment of division. It was, in fact, toxic and destructive. But you know what his pope name was? The Medici Pope. His name was Leo X. And he was the one who said that if you paid money to the Catholic Church to help build St. Peter's Basilica, that you would go straight to heaven. And these were called indulgences, and this was one of the things that Martin Luther did not like, nor should he have. Leo X favored the Dominicans who were taking over the universities of Europe from the Augustinians, and Martin Luther was an Augustinian priest. So as I looked out at the Synod Assembly, I said, did you know Martin Luther was the conservative, right? And then they all laughed because, of course, we're the ones that are now thought to be the conservatives. So today, now look what's happening. We have another Leo, and he is an Augustinian. I said, so this particular moment in time, it might be a moment for us to do something about this. So I said, come, Holy Spirit, right? Today, there are currently more than 47,000 Protestant denominations. In the vast majority of these, the division begins, like with Father Martin Luther and Pope Leo X in 1517, with two opinions squaring off and defining themselves not in a positive statement of what I believe or we believe, but what it is about you that I refuse to accept. It is not a dialogue, it's two monologues that do not listen to each other. Dialogues require words. Dialogues also require diversity, a willingness to learn from the other rather than defining them. Christianity is precisely a diversity of gifts, a fullness that cannot be realized by one individual alone. It's fascinating to think of that first moment at Pentecost. We've listened to the words of Jesus throughout this Easter season, the promise of his Spirit, the fulfillment of all things. Today we hear the story of the driving wind and the falling fire in the first reading. He says, "I take from what is mine and I declare it to you. All that the Father has, I have given to you." Now even that bond of love itself, the Holy Spirit, Jesus hands over to us. It happened. Receive it, and now take it outside and proclaim it. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always." St. Paul continues this proclamation in the second reading today. "You are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body may be dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you." I'd like to think that the church is absolutely convinced of this truth, but I'm not sure we are convinced of these words. At the moment of Pentecost, Jerusalem was a crossroads of trade. There were devout Jews from all over, and at the sound, gathered outside and suddenly heard the word and were amazed. They probably heard the driving wind as well. This was the miracle that they heard, because they heard it in their own language. The miracle was not in the voice of Peter. It was in the ears of those who were listening. The word is what gathers us and touches us. First, then we take that word outside and proclaim it, as Peter does. So look what happens. After the marvel of Pentecost, Peter goes outside where they were locked in the upper room, and he begins by quoting the prophet Joel. This was the first reading from the Vigil Mass last night. "It will come to pass in the last days, God says, that I will pour out a portion of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Indeed, upon my servants and my handmaids, I will pour out a portion of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will work wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below." Peter says, following Pentecost, the Pentecost moment, "You who are Israelites, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs, which God worked through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. God raised this Jesus. Of this we are all witnesses. Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified." When they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter and the other apostles, "What are we then to do, my brothers?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is made to you and to your children and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call." Those who accepted his message that day were baptized. About 3,000 persons were added that day. So this is nothing about individualism. Those who were outside listening to Peter were people of a wide diversity of cultures and languages. His proclamation united them and brought them together to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and power. Indeed, this was a powerful witness of the Holy Spirit. Do you truly believe that you are now the dwelling place of the Spirit of God? Imagine how differently we might treat one another with reverence and respect, in peace, openly listening to the Spirit who speaks from each other. That same Spirit you have received in his fullness. Now let us take it outside and give it to others.